This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities, all with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03 Wednesday, November 27th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. I'm Judson Richards in for Rob Hart today.
Money conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Now, the latest report on the Federal Reserve's preferred gauge of inflation is out. We will check the numbers in our next segment. But right now, this is Black Friday for grocery stores, with aisles packed and shoppers scrambling for last-minute essentials to complete their holiday feast. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com, based out of Los Angeles. Phil, thanks for your time today. How big a day is this for grocery stores?
Well, Judson, the reality is that it's big, but it's different. It's big when you look at Aldi, when you look at some of these grocers who sell non-food products. That's where you're going to get the best Black Friday deals. On food itself, you're going to have some deals, but certainly, you know, with Thanksgiving tomorrow, basically now's a great time. If you haven't gone out, you haven't bought your turkey or the stuffing, run out now, because they've actually have better deals now than they had a week or so ago.
And you don't want to have to run out a number of times, Phil. What are the most commonly forgotten or last-minute items customers rush to buy?
Well, you know, it's really the simple stuff. They feel that we forgot the canned pumpkin, so they're going to go back. They forgot beverages. They forgot the wine. I mean, everybody's so focused on turkey and stuffing and cornbread and those kinds of items, they really don't make a complete list. And whether it's day-to-day shopping, whether it's for Thanksgiving or Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa, make sure you always have that list before you go into the store, because you will forget things. And keep in mind that this afternoon is going to be one of the busiest shopping days in supermarkets all year, where a lot of people have forgotten those essentials.
Phil, you can feel the intensity ratchet up around the grocery stores this time of year. What tips do you have for shoppers to navigate those crowds and avoid stress?
Well, to avoid the stress, you know, shop as much as you can online. I know that's a terrible thing for me to say, because I love supermarkets, but, you know, supermarkets are going to be more crowded than ever before. If you do want to shop online, take a look at the circulars from all the stores, whether it's Dominick's or Jewel or whoever you're shopping at, Whole Foods, Aldi, you know, take 5 minutes, look it online, because you're going to be able to see what they have featured. And that's going to be critical if you want to save money. And who doesn't want to save money, especially as we're heading into this era where we're hearing every day about more tariffs of products from Mexico or Canada or China. It looks like we're going to have 25% tariffs from all of them. As a result of that, what we're going to start to see in January are higher prices for just about all of our foods, whether it's avocados, whether it's garlic, whether it's apple juice and the like. So over the next couple weeks, you know, get that shopping list ready and stock up.
We're joined by Phil Lempert of SupermarketGuru.com. Phil, in about 60 seconds, what are some of the new Thanksgiving food trends we're seeing this year?
We're seeing more people going vegan than ever before, and also because of the weight loss drugs like Ozempic and like Wegovy and Mounjaro, what we're seeing is people having more of a focus on protein, less of a focus on the pumpkin pie and the stuffing and the cornbread.
Phil, thanks so much. That's Phil Lempert, SupermarketGuru.com, based out of L.A. Coming up next, a look at the latest snapshot of inflation in the U.S.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, there's a boatload of economic data out today ahead of the Thanksgiving holiday. Joining us to help break it all down, Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services there in Pittsburgh. Gus, thanks so much for your time. As mentioned, there's a ton of economic data out today. What's catching your eye?
So we got some inflation numbers. They continue to show that inflation is slowing. It's still a little bit higher than the Federal Reserve would like. We haven't made as much progress in inflation over the last few months as we did earlier in 2024. But we are definitely seeing smaller price increases this year than we've seen for the past couple of years. And that's good news for consumers. They are seeing smaller price increases even as their incomes are going up.
So how does the Fed policy play into all of this?
We are seeing some softness in industries that are heavily tied to interest rates. So, for example, durable goods manufacturing has been weak. Construction has been somewhat weak with higher rates. But now that inflation is slowing and interest rates are moving lower, we do expect to see a pickup in those interest rate sensitive industries in 2025 as lower rates support consumer purchases of cars and other big ticket items, business investment goods. And we'll also see lower mortgage rates next year, which will help the housing market.
How about the jobs front? How do things look heading into the new year?
Things look very, very good. We had a small decline in initial claims for unemployment insurance. They were 213,000 in the week ending November 23rd. That is historically low. That indicates that the job market is doing quite well. We had weak job growth in October because of the Boeing strike and then Hurricanes Helene and Milton. But I would expect to see the economy at 260,000 jobs in November. The unemployment rates hold steady at 4.1%. And we have just a historically strong labor market right now.
We're joined by Gus Fauché, Chief Economist of PNC Financial Services. Gus, I know you mentioned this, but if we could go back to us, give us your thoughts on the housing and mortgages currently.
There's no question we have seen mortgage rates rise over the past few months, and that's led to a bit of a slowdown in housing activity. Existing home sales are soft. Home building is soft. I would expect that we will see lower mortgage rates into 2025 as the Fed continues to ease. And with that, we should see a bit of a pickup in the housing market. So I'd expect to see more construction activity next year. And I do think that lower rates will bring more inventory on the market. That means it'll be easier to find a home for people who are trying to buy, and maybe a little bit slower price growth in homes next year. So housing affordability is going to improve.
Gus, finally, the million-dollar question. What's your forecast for 2025?
Our forecast is for continued growth in 2025 with a good labor market and inflation back to the Federal Reserve's 2% target by the end of next year. That being said, there are lots of risks to both the upside and the downside. We have tax cuts. We have the potential for tariffs. They could raise inflation. So lots of unanswered questions that we'll find out about next year.
Gus, thanks so much for joining us. Happy holidays. Happy Thanksgiving to you. That's Gus Fauché, Chief Economist of PNC Financial Services. Coming up next, bars and clubs are gearing up for one of the biggest nights of the year.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Well, tonight is called by many in the bar crowd Blackout Wednesday or Drinksgiving. It's one of the busiest nights of the year in hospitality as people gather to celebrate the holiday before the traditional Thanksgiving festivities. We welcome now to WBBM Doug Roth, founder and president of Playground Hospitality right here in Chicago. Doug, thanks for joining us again. Before we get started, please be safe. And of course, don't drink and drive. We certainly are not recommending blacking out, even though that is the title of it. What factors, Doug, contribute to the rise to Blackout Wednesday is such a popular tradition?
Well, Justin, thank you. I'm wondering if you remember when you were a freshman. I sure do. And when I came back from New Orleans to Chicago, one of the first things I wanted to do was go out and have a drink with my friends on that Wednesday before Thanksgiving. So it really started actually here in Chicago and has spread through the United States. How about yourself?
Well, I certainly remember that, especially, just your way to college and you come back home to all your high school friends. And what else do you do, especially as you're just kind of turning of age or you may be able to figure out other ways to get inside? How does Blackout Wednesday compare to other major drinking holidays like New Year's Eve or St. Patrick's Day?
It is number one. It is the
really
strongest day when it comes to alcohol consumption. It beats New Year's Eve. It beats St. Patrick's Day. It is the one day of the year that is way, way over the others.
So what impact has Blackout Wednesday had on local bars and restaurants?
Huge. The consumption of alcohol especially, we have to obviously be very careful with this, is that it is a day that is very celebratory, but you also have to remind yourself that you got to be smart.
What advice do you give for those who, who are not looking for the longest of lines or the busiest of bars? Is this the kind of advice where it's like go out early, or is this advice to maybe not go out at all and pass punt on this Wednesday?
I think that's a really good way of putting it. Hey, stay home. There's a lot of great things on television right now. And I think you have to look at really what the consequences are if you overdo it.
Yeah, I had a friend who would say, taking your wife or significant other out on Valentine's Day is amateur hour, and you're going to avoid that night and go out on another night, and that may be the best advice if you're looking for a mellow evening. Finally, Doug, what are the safety concerns or risks associated with the popularity of Blackout Wednesday?
Well, myself as an owner of a restaurant has a tremendous amount of liability. If I overserve someone, and God forbid they're in an accident, I am liable. And I do have insurance for that, but unfortunately, you are liable, and it can be a very, very difficult situation. And obviously, if you are in a situation where you're DUI, you can sort of hang it up when it comes to opportunities that are out there later on in life.
Yeah, Doug, finally, this is probably a good time to remind people as we head into the holidays to be aware, extra aware out there on the road. Just assume no one ever sees you or that they're not going to stop perhaps at a light. But tonight specifically, right, if you're out and about, be extra aware on the roads.
You bet. By all means, especially the weather doesn't sound like it's going to be great later on.
Yeah, Doug, thanks so much. Doug Roth, founder and president of Playground Hospitality from Chicago, discussing how tonight especially goes big in the bars and restaurants. Still ahead in Personal Finance Wednesday, using the holiday to hold a family discussion on money. That should be a lot of fun.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News time, now 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Jesse Richards in for Rob Hart today. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. We'll check the level of pain at the pump as people fill the tank for holiday road trips. Also, three Americans will be back in the USA after being held in China for years. And in Personal Finance Wednesday, holiday family gathering can be a conduit to a necessary discussion on money. More restaurants are equipping their outdoor areas for year-round use. WBBM Business, the Dow is down 149, S&P down 25, and the NASDAQ down 153. Again, chasing a high of 45 degrees today, but currently Chicagoland, 42 degrees. Cloudy skies all over at 12:31. Well, people heading out on holiday road trips are having to spend less than a year ago. Gas Buddy reports the average gas price in Cook County is $3.48 a gallon, the highest in the Chicago area. DuPage County comes in at $3.40, with Lake and Will 2 or 3 cents lower. That's about 14 cents below last Thanksgiving. The national average is $3.07 a gallon. Three Americans detained in China are now coming home.
The White House says Mark Swiden, Kai Lee, and John Leung will soon return and be reunited with their families for the first time in many years. Swiden was facing a death sentence on drug charges. Lee and Leung were imprisoned on espionage charges. The U.S. says all three were wrongfully detained. In exchange for their release from China, the U.S. has agreed to release three unidentified Chinese citizens. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, stocks are trading lower. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park Business Line, reminding you to bring your business home, Jim Welch, macro strategist and portfolio manager at Smart Portfolios here in San Diego. Jim, thanks for your time today. Stocks have been on a tear. Give us your thoughts on financial markets heading into the end of this year.
Well, there's a lot of optimism, Judson, going into the end of the year. Seasonal factors are typically supportive of higher stock prices. There's high expectations that President Trump is going to come in and make some changes, that it's also going to be beneficial for economic growth. I think the one note I would make is that I think those expectations are probably elevated relative to what is actually going to happen and how quickly it's going to happen. So to me, that's one of the areas of concern in coming months, Justin, is that people are very excited about this recent change. And I think it's just going to be some disappointment that sets in at some point.
Now, the AI trade has been a key driver. Do you think that that's starting to get bubbly?
Well, it's gotten more than bubbly, and it's legitimate. I mean, there are going to be significant changes to how our economy functions, productivity levels, due to AI. However, the amount of money that has been thrown into AI has not yet really received a return on investment. So this is another area of disappointment, I think, Judson, in that companies that have spent a lot of money and haven't yet really received and seen the benefits are likely to scale back a little bit as we go through 2025. So I think that's an area that is going to be a source of disappointment for investors.
We're joined by Jim Welch, macro strategist and portfolio manager. Jim, what are the biggest threat to the financial markets right now?
Well, one thing I want to mention, Justin, is happy Thanksgiving to you and all the listeners of WBBM. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving with family and friends. In the short term, that's more important, Judson. Again, I think the enthusiasm that is prevalent in the stock market at this point in time, like all things, there's a pendulum. And when you reach an excessive level of either enthusiasm or disappointment and fear, markets react to that. So to me, that's one of the vulnerabilities for the market, I think, as we go into next year. I don't think the tariffs are going to generate as much inflation as people are fearful of, but there are going to be dislocations that occur as all this stuff gets negotiated. And I think that is going to have an impact on the economy. And the net result is I think the economy is not going to be growing as fast as most people expect.
What areas of the market do you find undervalued at this time?
That's a good question. One of the things that President Trump in his first term was not supportive of a strong dollar. You know, he says in theory it's a good thing, but from an export standpoint, a weaker dollar helps U.S. companies be able to export more goods and services. So I think that's going to be one of the contrary things that come in. The dollar has been strong, again, optimistic about the economy and the potential impact of tariffs. But I think President Trump will, as next year unfolds, talk about that the value of a lower dollar isn't such a bad thing. That creates opportunity, I think, for emerging market equities as well as emerging market bonds. So that's one area I think I am focusing on. I'm just waiting for more definitive signs, Judson, that the dollar has indeed reached a peak.
Jim, what other areas of the market are concerning you?
I think we touched on it. The technology, the AI stuff, semiconductor stocks. Normally, historically, Judson, when the semiconductor index is lagging badly, which it has been since July, that's not a good sign for the overall market. There's a big leap into the small cap stocks and other economically sensitive stocks. In other words, money coming out of tech, going into their sector, those sectors, because people believe the economy is going to be really good next year. I think the Russell 2000 small caps, mid caps, they're all stretched in the short term. So I think they're also going to have a pullback.
Jim, finally, what do you think will be the major stock market theme next year?
That's a really good question. I think it's going to be disappointment that, in other words, people's expectations have been elevated as a result of the election. And I think some of the changes that they're anticipating are going to take longer. And the impact is going to be less than what they're perceived at this point.
Jim, a happy Thanksgiving to you. Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday. That's Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager, Smart Portfolios there in San Diego. Now, up next in Personal Finance Wednesday, if you're looking for a post-Thanksgiving meal discussion topic, we have a suggestion for you. We will tackle that.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, it is Personal Finance Wednesday. Thanksgiving is the perfect time to talk family finances, although you might just want to wait until after that big feast of yours. Joining us to explain, Mark Horner, Wealth Advisor with Fairhaven Wealth Management right here in Wheaton. Mark, great to talk to you today. Okay, explain why Thanksgiving is a good time to discuss those family finances, although you just might want to wait until after you take down that big meal.
Yeah, you're raising the bar pretty high, saying it's the perfect time to be talking about money, Judson. But I like that. But I like the enthusiasm. But whenever families get together, that is a reasonable time to be talking about the family finances and where things are located. And I do want to be clear. I'm not talking about, hey, Uncle Bill, will you pass the potatoes? And what's your 401k asset allocation? Not at that level of detail. But it's a great time to be talking about, hey, if something happens to either mom or dad, who do we contact to get information or to get access to accounts? It's especially important in the world that we live in now, where almost everything is digital. So knowing where login information and who to call to get that information, that could be a company human resources person, could be a financial advisor, your accountant, your attorney, but just making sure that people have that information is important. And then actually just this week, personally, my wife and I updated our estate plan to have our adult children into more prominent roles as far as healthcare powers of attorney, financial powers of attorney, things like that. And so what we're going to be doing is talking with the kids about what those roles and responsibilities mean.
You know, maybe a perfect time, Mark, if finances are bad, just so you can get a jump start on setting some low expectations for Christmas. But Mark, how can you open discussions about finances, right? How do you get into that conversation to secure a family's financial future?
So that's a fantastic point. I think fundamentally the first step for all families is to just start talking about this stuff. And so money's got this weird cloud that hangs over it that nobody should ever talk about it. And so you got to break through that and get talking about that, get talking about the topic. That is absolutely the first step. And so if you're a family that hasn't talked about money openly, I just encourage you to put that baggage down, and you just got to break the ice and start talking about it either with your spouse, significant other, the kids. And I think a great place to start is your own personal experience, and maybe even talking about some mistakes that you might have made with money in the past, just to get the conversation started, because talking about it is just a critical first step.
We're talking to Mark Horner, Wealth Advisor, Fairhaven Wealth Manager. You can learn more at fairhavenwealth.com. So, Mark, what financial topic should be at the very top of the list? Like, what if you don't have time to get to everything, what should you cover, even if it were your basis?
So that takes me also back to an appointment that we had with a prospective client this week. They've got two kids that are in their early teens. They don't have any estate planning documents. So they don't have anything that would talk about guardianship issues for younger children. And so to make sure that, I would say, number one, to make sure that your family is taken care of in the event that something happens to you. So putting together a basic estate plan, if you're a family, especially with young kids, that is a critical first step. And then if you don't have it's also supported by research that written financial plans just help people in achieving their goals. So that doesn't necessarily mean you need to work with a financial advisor, but talking about your various goals that are important to you and your family, writing those goals down, getting a plan together, and then checking your progress against that plan a year from now is also a very good first step.
Mark, finally, and this is the million-dollar question, how can you balance discussing financial responsibilities without causing that tension or discomfort while among family members?
So I would say first have these conversations before any alcohol has been flowing.
Oh, that's good advice.
And family get-togethers. And I would say also try to remember that there are very few hard and fast right or wrong answers. Having a dialogue is more the point than trying to prove how smart you might be or how right or how wrong you might be. Just being open to having a dialogue, listening to other people's points of view, and then avoiding the alcohol, those are going to be elements to things not going south during the holidays.
Mark, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. That's Mark Horner, Wealth Advisor. You can learn more from Mark specifically at fairhavenwealth.com. Still to come, restaurants look to use their patio space throughout the entire year.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, Chicago's new cold weather patio scene, it is hot right now. Joining us to discuss is Izzy Karish, president of Hospitality Works, a.k.a. the restaurant coach right here in Chicago. Izzy, thanks for your time. We are seeing a ton of new cold weather patios. Help us understand why that's such a popular thing right now.
Well, you know, this is big because I really look at COVID. It's all bad news. This is the only good news from COVID at all, which gave everybody the idea of let's create something where people can dine outside. And it was really meant for that time during COVID. City and many cities are continuing to allow it, and it's flourishing, and it is a great and fun way to dine in Chicago.
So how does transforming a patio into a cold weather dining area impact a restaurant's bottom line?
Well, it's huge. It could give that restaurant an additional 20 to 30% more seats. And that's additional income that they never would have had unless they had that outdoor patio. So adding, you know, for some people adding, you know, 15 seats, some places are adding 30 to 40 seats. That's a lot more customers that you can serve and make money, which is great because so many places are still trying to catch up from the loss during COVID.
Yeah, you know, it can be one of those things where you can feel like you can get stuck at those seats, or at least it's the least desirable. How do cold weather patios create a unique or appealing dining experience for customers so you don't feel like that's your last resort to sitting at that outdoor patio?
Well, I think a lot of people, and especially people who go to those patios, are looking to do that. It's fun. You're outside. You know, if it's snowing, it's great. You're watching the snowfall in Chicago. It's a lot of fun. In some of them, they're not heated or not heated very well. So you wear a jacket, and everybody knows that's part of the deal. And most of the places that I've, gone to, they will ask you, would you like to? They don't just put you out there. So, when I think about the winter, those are the places I'm going to go to this winter. Anybody that has that outdoor dining, I'm happy to wear a jacket and just sit outside and enjoy a little more of that, Chicago experience.
We're joined by the restaurant coach, Izzy Karish. Okay, Izzy, so now that we've talked about what is happening more, can you give us a one, two, maybe even three of your favorite spots for outdoor dining this time of year?
Oh, boy, that is a tough one. So many places are just now starting to announce what they're doing. So I don't have a favorite one. I haven't done one since, I don't think I've done one since last year or the year before, but I know articles came out today. I am going to be looking for winter dining, al fresco style, in Chicago this winter.
Izzy, thanks so much for your time today, and happy Thanksgiving to you. Again, a few that have been mentioned, the 8 Bar, Expat, and even Kyo can all be great spots when it comes to outdoor dining.